Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We're going to continue in our lesson today about some of the things that are spoken against the church, because a lot of times there'll be people who are very much opposed to the church. They don't like the message that the church sends forth, and therefore they speak against it in derogatory terms, critical of it, in order to try to minimize the influence of the church. Well, some charge that the church is intolerant of others. Now, to some, if you even believe there's such a thing as right and wrong, you're considered intolerant. Many confuse tolerance with compromise and indulgence. Truth is not ours to compromise. Sin is not ours to just ignore. Some think that others are intolerant if they don't accept whatever else somebody else might think. Isn't it strange how those who charge the church with being intolerant, how intolerant they are toward the church and the things that the church teaches and upholds? What is it to be tolerant? Tolerant means to permit to exist. For instance, God, he permits sin to exist, doesn't he? He doesn't approve of it. People can sin all they want, but not without eventually giving an account for what they say and do. We grant that all people everywhere have a right to believe and practice whatever they want, but that doesn't mean it's going to be pleasing to God. And so people can do that so long as it does not prevent others from being able to do that. But we must insist that Jesus said we're either for him or we're against him, and there's no middle ground of neutrality. We're not permitted to do whatever we want, friend, with equal blessing, not with the same benefit. With some, the only way to be wrong is to contend that there is a way to be right. Sometimes people have the idea, if I'm just honest or sincere, that's all that's necessary. The Bible teaches nothing of the sort. The church has the obligation, you see, to be the pillar and the ground of the truth and to preach the word without addition, without subtraction. Well, if that's intolerance, then God is the one that's intolerant, because this is what he's taught the church to do, and we cannot be swayed by the criticisms of men to depart from the ways of the Lord. Now, some charge that the church denies what they call heartfelt religion. The church does teach that there is involved in the conversion and the life of a Christian the heart. It does not teach emotions guiding us in the things that are right. We do not believe in a religion, as some say, better felt than told. We do not believe in the direct operation of the Holy Spirit, because the Bible does not teach that's the way the Spirit operates on the heart of man. We do but believe we're guided by some still small voices or something of that nature. The Bible does not teach that that's the way that God leads and guides man today. The church teaches the truth about the heart, how the heart proposes, it believes, it despises, it loves, it obeys. We can even be hardened of heart. The heart thinks, it determines. There are many other things that are not expedient to state here just now, but the Bible does not teach that feelings are the way that we are to be guided. We're to be guided by the Word, not just the Word that we might feel about something. The church certainly teaches conversion, but it does not teach convulsion, as some seem to practice. One who knows what the Bible teaches about the heart would never denounce the Lord's church about heartfelt religion. People obey the gospel from the heart, Romans chapter 6, 16 through 18. That's true heartfelt religion. And how many times have we heard that the church is old-fashioned? Well, this is actually a compliment, even though it's meant to be a criticism. Far better, friend, to be old-fashioned and right before God than new-fashioned and be wrong. The church is not in the business of trying to keep up with the times anyway. The church mission is to change the sinfulness of the times and bring mankind into harmony with his Creator. The trouble is that the times are not keeping up with God. We do not need to abandon first century faith. We need to put that into practice. It is relevant for every age. If only people knew more about it, if they understood it, if they believed it, if they would practice it, they would see that it's not old-fashioned. The church is not modernist. It does not deny the miraculous as recorded in Scripture. It does not deny the deity of Christ, his virgin birth, or the reaction. Now, if that's what it takes to not be old-fashioned, then we cannot pray. We would certainly pray that we would always remain old-fashioned. The church must uphold these truths concerning our Lord. It's a shame that there be those who claim to follow Christ who are constantly finding fault with the old paths. They're trying to inject their new wisdom into the religion of Christ. Friend, the church is not to be conformed to this world, Romans 12 and verse 1. If it is the old-fashioned, it's in step with the Son of God, and that's what the world needs today. We sure cannot say much about the congratulations of those who have left him and followed their own way, or the way that may be new but not true. What good can such people ever do? They want to leave the ways of the Lord and inject their own way as if it were superior to that of their Creator and Judge. They only make matters worse. But some criticize the church. They are hypocrites in the church. Well, they complain about the church that way. Well, you know what? That's right. There are probably hypocrites in the church. You know, even the Lord had his Judas. But what has that got to do with the perfect will of God? There is a divine side to the church which cannot be improved. Now, that's the human side that has its weakness and its faults. But you know, hypocrites have no hope of heaven, just like the disobedient don't have any hope of heaven. Why would one fail to disobey God because they're hypocrites in the church when both they and the hypocrites are going to spend an eternity together? They only deceive themselves. How does a person think he's going to get to heaven because of the shortcomings of somebody else? Well, friend, because there's hypocrites in the church, that's not a criticism about the way the Lord has taught that we must follow. Can we blame God because somebody who claims to follow him really does not? And furthermore, all error is not hypocrisy. Sometimes it's weakness among people that are really trying. Sometimes it's a lack of growth. Sometimes it's misunderstanding. People are growing. There is confusion. There is pretense. There is show. But none who knows what is going on would deny that there can be hypocrisy in the church. But who thinks they're going to heaven because somebody else who claims to be a Christian fails in his duty? We're not to be the followers of men anyway. We're to be followers of Christ. Paul said, "Be ye imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ." 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. You see, Christ is our example, 1 Peter 1:21, not some hypocrite. The church can justly be criticized when it allows hypocrisy to go uncorrected, when this is a fault that may be found even in our own day. But because there are hypocrites in the church does not excuse one from being responsible and obedient to the doctrine of Jesus Christ. The disobedient and the hypocrite will both be in hell together forever and forever. Why would one not obey because of hypocrisy of somebody else? But the church is sometimes criticized with the complaint, "You don't think anybody is going to heaven but you." Friend, if the Bible tells the truth, and we believe that it does, only those who do God's will are going to go to heaven. and being faithful servants of His in His one church is what He teaches. If I did not believe that being a member of the Church of Christ was essential to salvation, why, I would work for its secession. I would line up with somebody else for unity's sake. Why exist if it's not necessary to please God? That's something denominationalists need to answer. They don't claim that they have to be a member of that denomination. The church is the body of Christ. Only those in that body are going to be saved because Christ is the Savior of the body, Ephesians 5:23. The church is God's kingdom, and only those in that kingdom are going to be delivered to the Father, 1 Corinthians 15:24. The church is God's family. We're going to study about that next time in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. It's composed of the sons and the daughters of God. Are we to think that children of the devil are going to be saved just as they are? You see, there are many who fail to understand what the church is. They've been so schooled in denominationalism, they find it difficult to accept and to grasp the New Testament revelation about the church. There's no hope to those outside of Christ. Being in the church is being in Christ, because the church is His body. The criticism designed to make others prejudiced against the church is the fruit of ignorance, and possibly an attempt to make the critic seem to be more loving and gracious than those in the church. The truth is, the critic does not understand the church and does harm against the will of Christ. He wants what he wants, and if the way of Jesus is not what he wants, he will try to find fault with it in some way or another. Well, there are other things that are spoken against the church, but what of that? So many times, people think that if they'll criticize the church, that that's going to change God's will in some way or another. Some men have seldom ever been enthusiastic about the way of God, and I suppose it'll always be that way to some extent. You see, the thief hates teaching against stealing. The adulterer does not like the teaching against adultery. The denominationalist despises the teaching of the Bible on baptism and the one church. Those who sprinkling, they detest the teaching of immersion. The church organist will not like to hear that we are to offer music by singing. The homosexual cannot abide the moral teaching of the Bible. The murderer, he scoffs at the idea that would prohibit that crime. The atheist rebels against the existence of God. So what else is new? It's always been that way, and that doesn't minimize the seriousness of it. But we're not going to be swayed by the criticisms that the unbeliever want to make against the will of Almighty God. Criticism against those who make up the local church may often be justified in some particular, because we might fail to live up to the standard of Jesus Christ, and this is something we ought to do. But when anybody upholds the truth of God's word, listen to me, friend, all the criticism in the world amounts to nothing whatever as far as altering that truth. The word of the Lord endureth forever, and it is by the truth that each one of us are going to be judged. Therefore, if we be as wise as we sometimes like to think ourselves to be, we will respect, thus saith the Lord. And all the comments of criticism against the Lord's church that the unbeliever can heap upon us, why, that's not going to change the truth, not one bit. And we're all going to give an answer to God for what we do with Jesus Christ. This is A Burning Fire. Until next time.